is MSONewsSports.com, and this is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
Well, hello there. This is Connections. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Of course, the voice of the North Shore is Bill Newell. And we are trying to do this program every Thursday, and once in a while I mess up. But hopefully we've got some items of interest here for you this morning, as well as some very timely interviews, I think, with some people that will probably make your day. I'm just kind of guessing here. A lot of stuff going on. And I will tell you that we also have a bunch of sportscasts coming up this weekend, which we'll get to in just a little while. But I can let you know that we've got a big game tonight on MSO Radio Channel A. We'll be doing live streaming video. Live streaming audio of the Beverly at Marblehead game. Very difficult to do a game for Marblehead because there's no press box. So Marty Smith will be doing the play-by-play. I'll be there to help him out, and we'll be in the stands tonight covering Beverly at Marblehead, and two more games tomorrow that we'll talk about later on. Now, on today's program, our scheduled guests include David Thompson, who is the Director of Communications for the Topsfield Fair, a very, very busy man for Thompson Communications, a marketing expert as well, and he lines up interviews and lines up all the stuff that's going on. You may have seen the advertising all over the newspapers about the Topsfield Fair. I want to direct you to the website, too, the Topsfield Fair website, and it's just topsfieldfair.org. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is a spectacular website and very easy to navigate. And, of course, Topsfield Fair opens tomorrow. It is that time of year. And almost on cue, the hot, murky, humid, beautiful summer weather is gone. It just kind of got swept out about an hour, 2 hours ago here on the North Shore, and we now have, you can feel the change in the air mass. It's going to be a little bit cooler, and it will be Topsfield Fair weather. So, and it looks good. The weather looks good. Rough spot last year, I think, with the weather, but we'll be talking with David about all the stuff that's going on starting tomorrow right through Columbus Day at the Topsfield Fair. And our other guests, excuse me, this morning also include Mary Marcos, who is a reporter and news writer for the Salem News and the Gloucester Times. She's been covering Peabody primarily, but she has some interesting stories to fill out for us. And I'm going to replay an interview I did with Lauren Flynn back on Monday night. Lauren is the captain of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team, but they'll be hosting a very, very important fundraiser tonight at their match against Reading, I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's Reading. And anyway, she'll mention that. But they'll be home tonight, Hamilton Wenham High School, the home for the volleyball match. Hamilton Wenham is now 7-0 in volleyball this season, and they are hosting a big fundraiser tonight that's very, very important for a young girl whose family and she are in desperate need for some medical attention that's very, very expensive. Terrific story from Lauren, and you'll hear, terrific young woman as well. You'll hear from her. We've got all of that, plus some other stuff as well. We're also going to run our North Shore Today newscast that we play every day, or that we put together every day, and we post on our 24/7 tab, which is 24/7 radio, right at the top left-hand side of the website. And I would also like to direct you to the main page of the website, because there's so much stuff there. And we have exclusive content. Well, it's not all exclusive, because we do publish other press releases and things like that. But our interviews are mostly exclusive. We do it. We go to the place. We call people. We visit the venues and so on. And you will see a brand new video, a brand new radio interview just posted this morning regarding the Marblehead basketball coach, new Marblehead High School basketball coach. No, I'm wrong. He was a Marblehead assistant coach, but the new Danvers basketball coach, as you know, Danvers has been in need of a new basketball coach. They have one, and his name is Chris Timpson, and Bill Newell has posted an interview with Coach Timpson on our website right there. You'll also see on the main page, we have our North Shore Today post with the latest news headlines from papers in the area. And, of course, our football show has been posted last night, scoreboard, just all kinds of great stuff. And, you know, scroll through. Oh, by the way, right-hand column, they call that a sidebar. Please visit and and go to our terrific advertisers and sponsors on MSO. We appreciate their help. They've kept it alive for quite a while now, and we definitely appreciate it. Plus, you've got the Player of the Week and the Football Preview Show right there on the sidebar if you don't want to go scrolling through the pages, through the posts. Anyway, a lot to do here this morning, and we'll go for as long as we need to. I'd like to thank my sophomore English teacher down in Killeen, Texas. I went to Killeen High School for 3 years, freshman, sophomore, junior year, and then I went 1 year at Gloucester High School. But my sophomore English teacher, her name was Miss Hornbuckle. I kid you not. She was about 5 foot nothing, a very experienced woman. When we were in class with her, she'd probably been teaching for a long, long time. A very distinguished fireball. She was something else. And the one thing I remember, we used to ask her about papers, essays, term papers, that kind of thing. And someone would inevitably and invariably ask, "How long is it has to be?" And she would reply every single time. She'd say, "Long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to be interesting." And that was her stock answer. And that's what we try to do here on all of our broadcasts and all of our interviews. We try to about make sure it's long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to be interesting. If you have any information, anything to pass along, any suggestions, any complaints, msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. All right, that just about takes care of our little introduction here. I think what we'll do is take our first break, and then we'll check in with David Thompson, who's the communications director at the Topsfield Fair, and I am pumped, psyched, to see what's going on at the fair this year. So we'll be back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Is my mic? There we go. Now my mic's on. We're back with Connections, and joining us now on MSO News Sports is David Thompson, Communications Director and Head of Thompson Communications. But he is at the Topsfield Fair just pumping out information big time for the last month or 2 months or so. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. How you doing this morning?
Thank you. We're doing very well. And, you know, it's been a while since we talked, and I remember talking with you last year and going to the publicity event, the media event. In September, we couldn't do it this year, but yeah. I was so impressed with everything that goes on. And for those involved in the Topsfield Fair, it is a year-round event. And how much are you involved with? And we'll get to all the stuff about the Topsfield Fair in a minute. But just sure. How much are you involved in your role as communications director?
Well, I get involved, you know, starting in probably late summer. August is when we start really cranking stuff up and cranking stuff out about mm-hmm. the fair. You know, there is certainly staff that are on the fairgrounds working it year-round. You know, they're already planning now for the 2018 Topsfield Fair, which will be the 200th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Not even, this one hasn't even started, and they're already thinking about next year. So it's quite the process.
That's incredible. That is amazing. And I know that when I travel, I think is it 93 or Route 3? I forget what it is, but there's signs there, you know, Topsfield Fair, and it's got the date up there, and it's just so exciting.
95. There's a couple on 95.
95, okay. All right. So the fair starts tomorrow, and I don't even know where to start, David. I'm going to let you start, and then I know I've got a million questions for you.
Sure. Well, it does start tomorrow, and, you know, hopefully this great weather streak will continue. We haven't had the best luck with the weather the last few years at the fair. But this weekend is looking great, so it's nice to kick it off in a really positive way. The fair starts, as always, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Every other day we're open at 10 a.m., and tomorrow is the giant pumpkin weigh-off,
mm-hmm.
which, kind of surprising to me, has become big news over the years. And I actually was on the phone with one of the people that are coordinating that event this morning, and they're saying that they think they have a really good shot of having a not only a Topsail Fair record breaker, but a North American record breaker in the competition tomorrow night.
It is amazing how much interest that generates, and I know I've read a couple of times in the local papers, the Salem News, Gloucester Times, Newburyport, they describe how the local farmers grow these things and get them to the fair, and the heartbreak sometimes of guys with these giant pumpkins, and they just can't get them there because they break. So it's quite a process, and kids absolutely love it, but so do adults.
Yeah, absolutely, and actually when I was speaking to people running the contest this morning, they said actually four pumpkins went down this week.
Oh.
So they got this close,
yep.
And they were giant, giant pumpkins, and they lost them.
Oh.
Whether it be, you know, they collapse or they get, you know, some kind of mold, or I guess there was this new kind of slug that has been a problem this year.
But heavens.
These farmers take it pretty seriously, and they, you know, they've got it down to a science.
Oh, absolutely, and yeah, it's got to be so frustrating. But so that's a highlight. And what I love about the big pumpkin, the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. What I love about that is that by the time I get there, it's in this giant display case, and all the facts and figures are there. And that in itself amazes me, David, because there's so much information in those barns.
There is, and with the pumpkin house itself, which is in the fruit and vegetable barn,
mm-hmm.
they actually expanded that house by 2 feet this year with the expectation that this year's pumpkin is going to be so big. They were concerned that it wouldn't fit into the house that it's been in over the last several years.
Oh, that's incredible. And while we're on the subject of the pumpkin, if you haven't been to the Topsail Fair, man, I think you should start with the pumpkin house, because especially if you have kids, the decorated pumpkins that kids do, I never thought about it until just now. We've had this summer weather, but these pumpkins must have been ripened, and then the kids, they work at it at Boy Scouts and clubs and schools and all stuff like that. But it's absolutely amazing. When does that competition take place, David? Because you see all these ribbons that the kids get.
Yeah, those are in now, and judging for all the different competitions varies over time. I don't know exactly when the pumpkin decorating competition is judged, mm-hmm. but, you know, once people get there tomorrow at 1 o'clock, everything will already have been judged, except for some of the food competitions that take place throughout the week. And people will be able to go in and see the Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops and all the other organizations that have decorated these pumpkins, and some of them are incredibly creative, and mm-hmm. they're always different every year, which is neat.
Absolutely, and I'm always amazed by it. And you said something that I hadn't heard before, a food judging contest?
Yes, food, as you know, is a big part of the Topsail Fair, you know, not only from walking around and trying all the different food that's available, but there are food contests. There's the Topsail Fair Favorite Apple Pie Contest. There's a pumpkin pie contest. There's a parent and child cookie contest. And the list goes on and on. And those take place at different days mm-hmm. throughout the run of the fair. So people bring it in. That day it gets judged, and a winner or winners are determined.
Man, that's a new one for me. That's tremendous. Now I'm looking at the website, David, and I think we could certainly refer people to it, topsailfair.org. It is a very user friendly website, and you just have everything imaginable there.
It's such a big fair, and it's hard to, you know, explain it all to everyone. So having that website that is really, you know, kind of the foundation for people to go to and find what they need is so helpful, because everyone is coming to the Topsail Fair for a different reason.
Mm-hmm. Now it has a fair map there that you could probably print out, and David, I as you just said, there's so many things, and I don't want to. I know you're very busy right now, but maybe a couple of highlights that you want to mention, then I'll get a couple of questions, and then I'll let you go.
Sure. No, absolutely. Happy to. I could talk about it all day.
Good. I could listen all day.
This weekend, we have the Doc Dogs competition, which has been very popular and has been back a few times over the last several years, where they literally throw out this like rubber bone into a pool, and they see which dogs can go the highest or go the furthest when they leap to get the rubber bone, which is it's crazy.
Now, wait a minute, you called it you called it a dog dive? Is that what it's called?
It's called Doc Dogs.
Okay.
And they're running from a dock into a pool.
Okay.
And this is competition that takes place everywhere. I actually know of a young woman from Topsfield that is going to the Doc Dog World Competition in Nashville at the end of October.
Okay, I hadn't heard of that one. That's
that's
cool.
That's really popular. We have also Monster Trucks this weekend. On Saturday. Two shows for that. Throughout the week, we have several entertainers coming in. On Wednesday, we have Peter Noon and Herman's Hermits, which is a really popular group from the 50s and 60s that still draws a lot of people. The next night on the 6th is the Village People. So I expect to see lots of people in the audience doing the YMCA.
Of course.
Friday night is High Valley, which is a country duo from Canada, brothers from Canada. And they have had one huge hit song and another one climbing the charts right now. Then on Saturday night, we have Cassidy Pope, who was the first place winner of The Voice in season 3.
Wow.
Also a country singer. And then, not to be left out, that Saturday morning, the 7th, we have a knack for the kids called Disney's Choo Choo Soul, which is kind of a sing-along dancing party for preschoolers and, early young school-age kids.
Unbelievable. I'm just, I'm in awe here, and I'm seeing the Flying Walendas are going to be there.
Yeah, I see. I didn't even get to them. I missed them. They're here as well the last weekend. So
goodness gracious.
We'll lend a family that has, crossed, Niagara Falls and done all these crazy stunts. Members of that family will be there. And this is a return to them to the fair. They've been here several times.
Incredible. There's so much to talk about. And I noticed the two things that are of particular interest, I think, and then I want to get to the barns one more time. But you have an antique tractor pull, and I remember interviewing someone during Media Week last year about that, the amazing machines that are there. And then you also have a draft horse show, and those are in the big arena, I believe, and people can just pack that place.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, you probably talked to Tim Clark about the antique tractor pull.
Yep, Tim Clark.
That enters his tractor. He's a board member, longtime board member of the Essex Agricultural Society, the group that runs the fair. I don't think he's ever won, but he tries every year. And then you probably talked to Al Craig, another board member. He handles a lot of the horse shows in the arena. And they're really popular. People can go in and see these magnificent animals doing, some incredible things.
Incredible, absolutely. All right, now the barns. David, I don't know how many barns you have, and I don't know that you have that at your fingertips, but but you have so many different displays that are spectacular. And no matter how many people are there, there's always plenty of room to look at this stuff.
There is, absolutely. One of the nice things about the fair is that there are many buildings, so you can get inside, and whether that's to kind of escape the hot sun, which I hope is a problem, the rain, which I hope isn't a problem, or the crowds. You can get into these buildings, and there's a variety of them, from the flower building, which has some of the most incredible flower displays and landscape displays, to the poultry building, where you can go in and you can hold a baby chick. There's a hatchery right there, and, these tiny little baby chicks, people hold, and they get little ribbons saying, "I held a baby chick at the Topsfield Fair." They can then go into the fruit and vegetable building that we talked about, where the pumpkin is and all the decorated pumpkins and all the other fruits and vegetables that are on display, as well as being able to buy apples and cider donuts in there. There's the rabbit and cavies building, where you can go and see all the rabbits and gerbils and those types of animals. You can actually even buy rabbits from there if you're so inclined.
No, I'm not.
I'm with you.
Okay.
And you see people walking around with cages with a rabbit in it. So,
yeah.
It's you know, those are just some of the buildings. The trade building, where there's lots of different vendors on display, where people go and buy Christmas gifts and all other kinds of things. And it's really, you know, there's something for everyone. Coolidge Hall, which is the building that has the quilts and all the photography and the fine arts.
Yep.
It's definitely another must-see building.
One of my favorite things is, especially when we have kids with us, is to go in, and I don't like bugs, but to go into the bee house and roll a candle and stuff and get to make, you see the kids make the candle, and that place is always packed, and that's, I imagine that's probably a staple of fairs in the area, but that place is so cool.
It is really cool, and I see, again, there's another building, though there's so many of them, I left off my list. You can actually see the beehive, where you can see the bees working to make the honey. It's all enclosed, so there's no fear of, you know, being stung or anything like that. As you mentioned, I think for a dollar, you can roll a honey wax candle and take that with you, which is great. And then they also have honey, jars of honey, and the honey sticks, which are extremely popular. And by the end of the fair, they've run out of both of those because they're so popular.
Oh, absolutely. David, I know that you get a number on visitors and so on through ticket sales, et cetera. And I know that last year was kind of rough because of the weather.
Right.
Do you have a sense of how many people participate in the fair? Because I'm just thinking, oh, my goodness, the farmers, the workers, the vendors, the volunteers, how many people overall are actually, I don't know, are involved in the fair in one way or another?
Well, when you add in all the vendors and, you know, all the employees of the vendors and all that, I'm sure it's in the thousands,
mm-hmm.
but volunteers alone, there's about 700.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And they run all the agricultural buildings, the 4-H building, all of those things, and the fair simply wouldn't be possible without those volunteers, you know, taking the time to be there. Year after year. And the neat thing is you see a lot of the same people year after year and multi-generations of the same family that have been involved for decades.
Incredible. Now, a couple of other things here before I let you go. And again, I want to refer people to the topsfieldfair.org website because we can't possibly cover everything.
right.
But, you know, you mentioned weather, and good weather or bad, even with bad weather, there is so much to do at the fair. What it might do is just kind of rob you of the kids' carnival, and that in its, and I say kids' carnival, but there's also rides there for adults, and that's a spectacle in itself.
It is, and I think that's one of the things that Tim O'Brien, who's the general manager, has focused on in his last, I think, 11 years since he's been there, is widening the walkways, paving the walkways, so that way if there is bad weather, you know, people aren't getting stuck in the mud and those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
plus reminding people of all the different buildings to go in and out of. So there might be a couple of things that you might miss out on if it's really bad rainy weather, but you also will have less people there and will be able to cover so much more.
Okay, the logistics now, David, obviously it's in Topsfield, I know, off of 97 and off of Route 1. You can get there both ways, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
And there is plenty of parking.
There's plenty of parking. One of the really helpful things is last year they added a brand-new parking lot that will house at least 600 cars, probably about a quarter of a mile, a tenth of a mile prior to the main gate of the fair when you come down Route 1, so when you're going Route 1 north. Right on your right there, and they'll take you mm-hmm. on a shuttle bus directly to the main gate and let you off there, which is a huge help to alleviate some of the traffic issues that happen on a busy day over the run of the fair.
And the cost.
So last year we didn't get to use that because of the weather, but this year we're hoping to use it a lot.
Yeah, it's looking good so far. What? How much does a ticket cost, David?
Tickets are $11 for tomorrow
mm-hmm.
and then next Monday through Thursday. And then on the weekends and the Columbus Day holiday, they're $15.
Okay.
And children under 8 are free.
Oh, okay. Well, it's well worth it. And I should point out that ticket gets you admission to everything. And I think the only thing, I don't know, what else do you have to pay for besides food?
There's just, well, any, you know, if you want to do any arcade games or things like that, rides,
right.
that's a separate ticket. Then the only other two ticketed events this year are the Monster Truck Show,
mm-hmm.
which is $15 for that show, $20 if you want to do the pit party, which where you get to go and kind of climb on the trucks and meet the drivers and that kind of stuff prior mm-hmm. to the shows.
Wow.
And then on the last Saturday, the 7th, the Disney's Choo Choo Soul event is a ticketed show, and that's only $15 as well.
You mentioned
those
that.
Those are in addition to fair admission.
Well, I'm out of breath, man. I need to take a nap. I need to take a nap now. Oh, God. Well, that's the other thing. I know whenever we go, we try to go on a weeknight early, you know, right after school type thing, and it's there's a lot of people there, but it's not overcrowded. And I tell you what, I think the least amount of time I've ever spent at the fair is maybe 4 hours, but I know people who go on a weekend, and they're there all day.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's tremendous.
And many people come back more than once because, you know, they know it's only here once a year, mm-hmm. and they want to either get their favorite food or, you know, see, you know, things that they didn't get to see the first time they were here.
Absolutely. I have to get my Winfrey's fudge. That's what I go.
Oh, that's a classic. Absolutely.
And there's all kinds of games and all kinds of souvenirs you can buy and all kinds of arts and crafts. It's amazing. David, thanks so much for taking the time. Is there anything else that we might have missed that you want to mention?
I think you've covered it all. Again, just for people to go to the website, which is topsailfair.org. Lots of information there, and hopefully that will answer any questions they may have.
It will. It's very user-friendly, and it's got a day-by-day thing up there, and I also have linked to it on our website. David, great job. Congratulations, and good luck, and I hope you get some rest maybe in a week or so.
Yes, exactly. Rest will come later.
Okay, David. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick. Hope to see you at the fair.
I'll be there. Take care. Great. That is David Thompson, who is the Communications Director of the Topsail Fair. And it is jaw-dropping if you've never been. It's something for everybody. And, you know, I'm not particularly a bug person or an animal person, but, man, when you go there, you are. You become it. And the giant pumpkin, the New England giant pumpkin way off takes place tomorrow, and that pumpkin will be there, and you'll be able to see it. And they're looking for a national record. We'll see if that holds up. That would be cool. All right, I thank David Thompson. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to plug in North Shore Today, just get caught up on the news of this morning with Bill Newell and myself. And then we've got a couple of interviews still to go. We're going to talk with Mary Marcos, who is a reporter, news writer for the Salem News, and we'll also check in with Lauren Flynn. And, of course, Lauren, captain, one of the captains of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team. And she has a story to tell about a fundraiser that's taking place tonight at Hamilton Wenham High School during a volleyball game. I don't know, is it called a game or a match? But anyway, she's got the information for you, and she will be telling us all about that. So please stay with us. This is Connections on MSO News Sports.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call. Discuss your vision and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call. 888 1-800-283-CASB or visit CapeAnnSavingsBank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore. This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, back on Connections now, catching up with Salem News reporter Mary Marcos. And Mary, it's been a few weeks, and boy, a lot's happened over the last few weeks. How you doing?
Good, Rick. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. I want to go back to something that happened quite a while ago, but maybe get an update on it. In Peabody, there was a fire of sorts at a water facility earlier in the summer, I believe. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so the electrical fire happened last spring, and the city has been trying to get the water treatment plant back on track because it's very expensive to get the water the way that they're getting it now, which is it costs around $250,000 a month.
Wow.
They will be getting $1 million sort of subsidy from their insurance claim. But still, I mean, that only covers about 4 months. So the city's been trying to get back on track, but unfortunately, they weren't able to receive a waiver to decide on the contract company.
Mm-hmm.
So if that slowed the process down 2 or 3 months. They wanted to get it open by the fall, but they're not going to be able to do that until at least the winter at this point.
Does that affect a big portion of the city, Mary, or a small? Do you have any idea how many people might be affected by that?
Yeah, it's south Peabody and downtown Peabody, and normally that area gets 75% of its water from this plant,
mm-hmm.
And 25% from the Massachusetts Water Resource Authority, which is the one that normally it's only 25% of that. So now it's 100%. They're getting it from that resource authority. So that's why it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. So that's still to be determined, I guess. We have to keep our eye on that one. You know, something else that caught my eye, the way it was written, or at least the way the headline was written, was we're all familiar with the wall and building a wall, but I guess there's a portion of, is it Peabody Danvers Line or something that's going on where neighbors want a wall built?
Yeah, so there is some construction going on that's going to be going on at the Waters River Bridge, which just needs some updating. And it's technically in Danvers. It's on the Danvers-Peabody line. So all the notices and the meeting and everything like that they had to let people know about the project was all in Danvers. None of it was in Peabody. So the residents there found out about it only because they read something one of the neighbors read something in the Danvers Herald. So they were upset that they weren't notified because they're just, you know, right next to the bridge. If you look on a map, it's a little neighborhood is right next to Route 120. It's called Tammy Lane, the one that's closest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a lot of construction. It's going to be very loud, and there are no sound barriers. But basically, because it doesn't fit the criteria created by the Federal Highway Administration for a Type 1 project, because it doesn't meet that specific criteria, they're not going to get a sound wall. The criteria involves adding an auxiliary lane of 2,500 feet in length. And this will be approximately 2,300 feet, I believe.
Okay.
So what they're going to do is the mayor, you know, he sort of wrapped up the meeting last week. You know, it's clearly they need to go to the higher-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're going to do is work together to try to go to the next level, I believe, state and federal officials and see if they can get some sort of, special permit or appeal
So they're still working. They still have some hope to do something about it.
They have some hope. It's going to be a tough battle, but
mm-hmm.
they're going to do their best to try to get some sort of wall there to the noise and to protect their quality of life.
Okay, you know, I live by railroad tracks in Gloucester. Do you think Mayor Betancourt could help me out with the sound? No?
I don't know. I don't think I'd talk to him. I think I'd talk to Mayor Sapathia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll ask Sapathia. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, in Wednesday's paper, you have an article about the Ipswich River Watershed Association. Maybe you can enlighten us on that as well.
Yeah, so the Ipswich River Watershed Association, along with other associations in Massachusetts, have been working for at least 10 years on this permit, which is supposed to help improve the water quality across the state. And just a few days before the permit was supposed to go into effect in July, the U.S. EPA announced that it was imposing a one-year delay. And so now they're filing a lawsuit to try to change it so that they can get started with the work, because they've been working on it for so long and they thought they were ready to go. And they're really disappointed in the decision by the EPA to delay it.
So what would the fix be? What are they trying to do in that area in terms of quality?
So basically, the permit will address two categories. The first one is pollution prevention, which basically is public education to teach people how to avoid pollutants that get into stormwater, which is the number one source of pollution affecting rivers and streams in Massachusetts. So that would be, so part of it would be public education. And the second part is fixing the existing problems, finding out where the pollutants are coming from and removing them. Pollutants are things like fertilizers, oil, gas, toxic metals, salts, things like that that wash into nearby waterways with runoff from land, roads, and buildings, and they get into to that stormwater and into the rivers.
How much is a geographic area is affected, Mary? Do you know?
I don't have a number for geographic area, but it's 21 cities and towns.
Oh, wow. So okay.
Everything and that's just the Ipswich River. There's even more. The Merrimack River Association, the Merrimack River Association is also involved. That's three different areas there. There's watershed groups.
Oh, my. Okay.
Really, it's really, really quite a large geographic area.
All right. So, again, we have to keep our eye on that. Mary, we covered a lot in a very short amount of time. Mary Marcos, we're talking with Mary, reporter for Salem News, Gloucester Times, and so on. Mary, anything coming up that you want to mention?
Yeah, so there's this fundraiser for a just inspiring young girl. Her name's Olivia Silva. She's only 9 years old, and she was just 2 years old when she was diagnosed with a form of brain cancer. And it's returned, unfortunately, after about 6 years of remission. And they're going to have a fundraiser to help defray the cost of the medical bills on October 21st at the Holy Ghost Society in Peabody. It's from 5 to 11. The tickets are $30 for adults, $10 for children, or $80 for a whole family. And those can be purchased online. I have an article coming out about that will have more details. But she's a really just adorable little girl, and I would like to see people come out and help her with this fight.
Absolutely, and again, we'll have Mary will have more on that, and we'll post that as soon as it's published in the Salem News. I presumably coming out with Salem News, right?
Oh yes, yep, that's coming out probably in the next week or so.
Okay, and so Mary, now down to a question about your reporting. You know, you started off with the Times, and we know your background, and now you're in the Peabody, Salem, Danvers area. So what's the difference so far in covering that area as opposed to covering Cape Ann? Maybe a little more congested?
Definitely more congested. Definitely a lot of the city versus town sort of political scene is different. Mm-hmm. There's a city council as opposed to board of selectmen. Mm-hmm. So that's very different, learning the ropes there. And the people are very different. You know, Cape Ann is larger geographically, but the community is so tightly knit. And I'm starting to feel my way into the Peabody community, and it's so large that I'm just still trying to to learn the ropes there, but it's definitely exciting. There's a lot of good things going on. They have a lot of really impressive projects in Peabody that they're working on. Another story I'm working on is the Murals Live project, where they're putting public art all over all over different buildings in the city. That'll be coming up. So just really, really cool projects, and I'm enjoying it, definitely.
Sounds great, yeah, and a variety of culture in Peabody as well, and lots of events. Well, Mary, once again, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day, and we'll talk to you in a week or so. In the meantime, stay safe.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, Mary. Take care. Bye-bye. That is Mary Marcos, who is the reporter for the Salem News and Gloucester Times, and generally doing a wonderful job all over the place. And we thank Mary for checking in with us from time to time. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder. Fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastown, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're joined now by Lauren Flynn, who is one of the captains of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team, off to another terrific start. Lauren, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, just great. Now, you guys... You've been playing a while for this Hamilton Wenham team, and what are you guys now? It's 7-0.
Yeah, we're 7-0.
So, what's been a highlight so far of this season? What have you guys done to make you feel good so far?
Well, a really big win for us was Masco. They're a very strong team. They've always been a rival of ours, and they had won the first game, and we won the next three. So it was really close, and it was really exciting, and that was really awesome because. We lost our senior setter, like, she graduated, mm-hmm. Riva Ventio, and so it was, like, interesting to see who would step in and be our setter, and we ended up Jaden Hartley Ward and Alex Petalaro, my teammates, both stepped up, and they've both been able to set for us, and they've just been so great, like really great asset to our team this year.
Tremendous. Now, you've been with the team for a while, and what's it feel like now to be a captain and as a senior?
I feel like it's going by so fast. Like, I feel like I was just a freshman, and like, I'm so like comfortable with all the people that I'm playing with now, and it just, I'm so used to like the patterns of like practice and games and our warm-ups and stuff. It just feels so natural now. It's really great, and I really love the people that I've been playing with for the past 4 years.
Well, you remember as a freshman coming in, you know that you're the young one, you're the new kid on the block more or less, and there are some kids who are older, and I'm guessing at Hamilton one of them that the older kids would bring the younger kids along and make them feel good. But now you're in that position. So how do you work with the younger kids, the freshmen, sophomores, and so on?
Well, we obviously separate for practice. So JV and varsity, I mean, we definitely, we do a few drills together, which is fun. But, like, you caught me on a good day because today we dressed, it was opposite day, was our dress-up day. So, for example, like, I wore a button-up and a tie, and, like, we all dressed up, like, I usually wear like dresses and stuff, so I wore like boy clothes, and it was really funny. So we got to take pictures with the underclassmen. Like, we sat with them at lunch, and we got to like, that was a really, today was a good team day because we all like interacted, and it was really funny to see the freshmen like step out of their comfort zone and wear stuff that they don't usually wear. So that's
absolutely
nice. Like, yeah, they want to be a part of it. They're really excited, and it's really great to hang out with them today.
It's hard when you come over from eighth grade and you walk into the building, and seniors have been around for a while, and you guys, you own the building. And what's it feel like being a senior now? What are you looking forward to this year, you know, besides the volleyball season?
Good question. Well, I'm taking some pretty tough classes, so that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how those turn out, but I'm going to definitely learn a lot, so I'm looking forward to that. Because they're hard classes, so there's going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of new stuff that I haven't learned before, which is going to be cool.
Good.
I'm looking forward to the basketball season, too. That will be fun after, see how far we can get after making it to the North Final.
You guys have had a tremendous career, and have you started looking at schools yet? And if so, what do you think you might want to do?
I've looked at schools. Really, New England. I really like it up here with the weather and like the people. So I'll probably hang around. I'm really interested in science. So I'm not sure exactly where I'd go in to that field, but I really like chemistry. But I also I like English and I like Spanish too. So it'll be interesting to see where I can incorporate those in a job.
Sounds like you're whole-brained and well-rounded. What's your most challenging course this year?
Oh my God, AP Calculus.
AP Calc, there you go.
It's so, I just had a test today, and it was so bad.
Listen, you're going
to
be...
It was tough.
You're going to be fine. And when you get into school next year, you won't have to take calculus, or if you do, you'll just absolutely sail through it.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, let's get down to business now. Oh, I know, one other question. I asked you what schools you were looking at. Are there any schools looking at you?
No. It's like... With the volleyball process, you really have to take off your winter sport in order to go to those tournaments, and I really wanted to play basketball, so I didn't really get that chance. But
good for you. Good for you. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. That sounds great. Listen, now, Coach Flynn sent me a note that you guys are having a big fundraiser this week, and tell me all about it, Lauren, because it sounds so important.
Yeah, so on one of the first days of school, Mr. Duff, a member of the Ipswich community, came to our school to talk about his daughter, Talia, who is suffering from a rare disease called CMT4J. And he talked about how they have to raise $1 million in order to get her this gene therapy that she needs. Her disease is similar to ALS, and so it would help to stop like the disease from like continuing in her body. Mm-hmm. And that's like really important to her because I mean, her time is limited. It was really hard for him to say that to us, but we know that she really needs this in order to live. So They've raised $300,000 just from selling shoelaces and just from, like, community events like lemonade stands. And I know that they're having, like, a little gala coming up in October. And that's really – that's the only way that they've really been able to raise money. So, I mean, it's really impressive that they've raised that much money in just a year with just those small fundraisers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's anything that, like, we could do to make a difference, like, it's awesome.
All right, so the Hamilton Wenham Reading game match, I guess it is, volleyball match, on Thursday at Hamilton Wenham in the gym will be a fundraiser for Talia. And according to the email, Lauren, it says that you'll just be asking for people to donate. No set money, no set anything like that, but you will be selling the shoelaces.
Yeah. So I think what we're going to do is, like, at entry, just any donation that you feel comfortable with. And then if you want, like, you could buy shoelaces too. They're $5, and all of the proceeds go straight to the Talia Duff Foundation.
I think that's fantastic. And are your other captains involved with this as well? Maybe you can tell me who they are.
Yeah, Katie Hankin and Cecily Zadie are my other captains. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely helping out too.
Okay, this is a tremendous enterprise for the team. And, you know, Lauren, I'm sure you see the news and you see what's going on across the country and across the world, and people get all upset and they ask me. I taught math for a long time at Gloucester High School, mm-hmm. and they ask me about, well, you know, don't you think the world is going to hell? And the answer is no, because I talk to people like you, Lauren, and you make me feel safe, and you make me feel like you guys are going to fix this thing.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Well, I mean it. And so what you got to do is you got to have yourself a great senior year. I know your mom's proud of you, and I know you're proud of the team. You got to have a great senior year. You got to raise a lot of money for Talia on Thursday, and keep your eye on the prize. Self-discipline and do great this year.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Lauren, we'll keep in touch and tell Mom to keep sending me the scores after your matches. Sure. And best of luck this season.
Thank you so much.
All right, Lauren, thank you. Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. That is Lauren Flynn, who is one of the captains of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team. And, of course, Mom, Jen Flynn, is the coach of the team. Generals are 7-0 right now. And, again, tremendous cause coming up on Thursday, September 28th, Cure CMT4J night. CMT4J. We have a link for it on the website. Game will be 7 p.m. versus Reading in the Hamilton Wenham gym. And this is a fundraiser where you're asked to donate whatever you can. Please go. Please visit. Watch a great match. Watch a great game. And at the door, they'll be asking for a donation of anything you're willing to give. Also, they will be selling shoelaces for Talia at $5 a pair. So $5 to help this tremendous cause for Talia. This is MSONewsSports.com.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right. I want to update that. Of course, we talked with Lauren on Monday night. We're back live now, unless you're hearing it on demand. But you can't hear it on demand at this particular moment, 11:54 on September 28th. old friend and former student of mine, Dominic DeCastro, is a correspondent for the Wicked Local over at Hamilton Wenham. It's Hamilton Wicked Local. And he's got an update from earlier in the week. The girls did win another game on Monday. Hamilton Wenham volleyball team, I'm going to read from Dominic now. The Hamilton Wenham volleyball team is nearly perfect this season at 8-0 and dropping only 3 sets during the whole year. It beat Linfield in a battle of unbeatens on Monday night, September 25, a huge Cape Ann League victory. Now its leaders are proving to be an asset to those in need. Captains Katie Hankin, Lauren Flynn, and Cecily Zadie are spearheading 2 fundraising events. One, this Thursday, will help benefit cure a rare disease, CMT4J, and another October 16 to support a cure for breast cancer. Now, Lauren's mom, Jen Flynn, coach of the Hamilton Wenham Generals volleyball team, says, "We live in a community filled with giving people who make philanthropy part of their lives. We see this at the high school where so many kids are involved in clubs and nonprofits aimed at helping others. It's always a joy as a coach when our team can come together to do more of this important work." So today, Thursday, September 28, Hamilton Wenham will host Cure CMT4J Night. The game will be at 7 p.m. versus Reading in the Hamilton Wenham Regional High School gym. The team is raising money to help
a sixth grader from Ipswich named Talia. She's suffering from that rare disease called CMT4J. And Lauren said, her family is working to fund gene therapy for their daughter, which is a very expensive process. Researchers are feeling extremely positive that it will lead to great results. Thank goodness. Now, the team will be asking for donations at the match, and those who can't make it can check out curecmt4j.org, and I have it linked right here on our webpage. So there you go. And I invite you to check out Dominic Nicastro's article on wickedlocal.com from September 25, okay? So by all means, do that. And Dominic, you can hear Dominic, too, by the way, on North Shore 104.9, the sports desk, on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., Dominic, with Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, both former high school math students of mine. There you go. Alrighty then. So I think that's going to just about do it for this morning, but I did want to remind you of some of the posts that we have up on the website. Bill Newell has a brand new story and an interview with the new Danvers boys basketball coach, Chris Timpson, a former assistant at Marblehead and a former assistant at Bishop Fenwick. That is posted. It's an audio interview. That's right here on the main page. And also, you might want to check out the weekend high school football kickoff program, as we do have football tonight on MSO Radio Channel A. Marty Smith will be calling the game. I'll be there to help him out. Beverly at Marblehead. Beverly 1-2. Marblehead 3-0. That is a 7 p.m. start. And then tomorrow we have two games on Channel B. It will be Channel A, Manchester Essex at Ipswich. Channel A Radio, that's Channel A streaming audio. It'll be Manchester Essex at Ipswich. And we've got interviews up on the website as well from both coaches. We will have. We do have that game coming up at 7 p.m. tomorrow night on Channel A. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns will be bringing you that game. And Paul Ingram and I will be in Gloucester as Lynn Classical and Gloucester, each 3-0, will be featured in our live streaming video game. So that will be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. as well. And let's see, tomorrow, 10 a.m., Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Don't have a list of his guests yet, but Josh always has at least three or four terrific interviews every Friday from 10 to 11. Contact us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, with comments, complaints, suggestions, whatever it might be. And I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Head out to the Topsail Fair. My thanks to David Thompson, Director of Communications at the fair, and of course, of Director of Thompson Communications. And the fair starts tomorrow, tomorrow morning. Up there, easy to get to, right off of Route 97, right off of Route 1. It's sort of triangulated there, and it's a gigantic fair, and you will enjoy it if you've never been. If you haven't been, I can't believe you haven't been. So the Topsail Fair begins tomorrow and runs through, I don't know what the date is, but it runs through Columbus Day. I have no idea because I'm so confused. So that's it for now. Next week we'll be off. We won't have connections next week, but we'll be back the following week, and of course, check out our website many times during the day as Bill and I update as frequently as we possibly can with all kinds of sports and news information, interviews with newsmakers, and whatever else we can put up there that is of relevance. Thank you for joining me. My name is Rick Moore. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer, and of course, Bill Newell is the voice of the North Shore. Always has been since he's been here. Appreciate it. Appreciate all his help. Appreciate your listening. Take care. This is msonewsports.com.